Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Podcast while walking. I'm walking off now around 4 o'clock in the morning to the Anzac Day dawn service. So Anzac stands for Australian and New Zealand Army Corps. And this is a corps that formed in 1914, but on the 25th of April 1915, landed in Turkey. Now, you've got Turkey proper, then you've got actually, the Europe section of Turkey, which is above the Bosphorus Strait. So you've got Turkey as a sort of a rectangle. Imagine a shoebox on the side. At the midway point, the middle of the middle, is Constantinople or Istanbul, and from Istanbul off to the right extends, balloons up the Black Sea, and to the to the left is just trying to think to the left is a sort of a small sea, small like a small lake, and then a more or less a canal that opens up into the Mediterranean. So above this is a strip of land which was owned by Turkey. It was held on after the Greek revolutions. So Greece rose off and broke away from Turkey as Turkey began to fade as an empire, as the other empires industrialized, and it didn't quite industrialize. It didn't have the same railway building capital systems as was developing in Europe during the, let me see, the 19th century, the 1800s. So Greece revolted and took a series of cities from from Greece, leaving basically a small strip of Turkey called the Dardanelles. And this is a particularly narrow strait, and so in order to protect Istanbul from the British Navy, or the Turkey, with the assistance of the Germans, mined the Dardanelles Straits. So it's a relatively small strip of land. So you can, if you sailed in the centre of it, you should be able to see the side of it. So that was manned by forts and cannon. I don't have the time at the moment. My watch, unfortunately, is broken off. So I'm walking up here. Everything seems okay. So I'm walking from my home to the local Australian War Memorial. I must admit, I'm a little tad nervous, seeing there was a tit-for-tat terrorism happening. Okay, look, this strait was had chains across it, mines across it, cannons either side, and designed by the Germans. So when the British Navy decided it would travel up, they lost. Isn't that bloody hell noisy? Oh, sorry, that's us. I'm just crossing the street light now. Oh, shoes, I'm a bit tired at the moment. Oh, yeah, so they lost a third of their navy, and so they thought, what we'll do, Winston Churchill was behind, he was the Lord of the Admiralty. It's definitely a light on the blink, just making heaps and heaps of noise. Is that a person there? Okay. And so they lost a third of the navy, pulled back, a few submarines got through. And when the submarines got through, they caused a whole lot of havoc.
havoc for the Turkish.
And the idea was that they would bombard Turkey, get Turkey out of the war, stop. Like Germany was creating a huge amount of hassle for the extended empire. Okay. Just checking. It's actually quiet here. So, for the extended empire. So they decided to do a blocking motion. Now what you have to understand, it's not like World War II or anything like that, where you've got massive distances. People were still thinking in Napoleonic microscopic distances. So because of that, they landed very close, and landed the Australians almost too close on vertical cliffs. And so I'll just continue all of this later on. So I'm just finishing up from the Anzac Day service. It was a dawn service, sort of fairly standard sort of thing. To lots and lots. And it's pretty much the same all the time. I don't know why people go to it. And it's also interesting that the actual information about the Anzac, the number of people and the size of the campaign. So look, really the size of the campaign was only about a kilometre deep and a kilometre in. We only took about 1 square kilometre of Turkish territory. It's just sort of crazy to understand. And so the actual distances involved, a lot of people walk more than the distance of the campaign from the car park up or from the houses up. And pretty much, yeah. So the distance to the war memorial to my home is pretty much the distance from the beachhead to where most of the fighting happened. So it's a very small, tiny campaign that they came across. So essentially I was there, and my job was to put out the chairs, partly, and someone came up to me and said, look, are you the chairman? I'm looking for the chairman. And I said, oh no, it's that person over there. He's called the president. And they went over, came back and said, oh look, no, I'm actually just looking for chairs. But for a brief while, I was actually the chairman of the RSL. And halfway through, part of the security stuff, you have a green and yellow flag. And so if there is an incident or a thing you have to evacuate, you can evacuate two ways, by going to the green and yellow flag. And I was the green flag holder. And Roy, another person, he's an Air Force person, just similar to me, someone who hasn't fought overseas or anything like that. I joked that he was doing a better job than me holding the flag. And of course when I mentioned that to the people in the Central Club, they said yes, in fact he was a far snappier flag holder. I was even beaten in that. And so it's about 10 to 7, and part of the Anzac Day thing is having a free big breakfast at the club. G'day, lad. Free big breakfast at the club. Oh, I also hand out the leaflets to everyone. And also the order of service for everyone. And putting up the equipment, it was like the equipment I hadn't seen probably since the mid-70s, type of sound equipment and stuff like that, all plugging together. Nowadays, things are much sort of lighter LED units. These are big, heavy audio units and cables. Everything worked, obviously, because it only comes out once or twice a year for different ceremonies, and it's lovingly put away. So it's all there, but the things are extraordinarily heavy I don't know whether I'm getting weak with time putting it up. So that's the start of the Anzac Day ceremony. I suppose with my job of putting out the chairs, I then went back and got the spacing between the rows exact and the line of them exact, and had them stacked. But because they were so precisionally put out, I'm sure that not everyone sat in them. I had to put out, 61 chairs all in all. And I'm pretty sure that the precision with which I put them out meant that no one sat in them. They sort of halfway through, or towards the end of the beginning, the politicians came up and said, oh, look, there's various politicians sitting in the front row. We're feeling a bit lonely. Can other people come up and sit down? So there, the amusement for me is being the chairman of the RSL. They're beautiful people. However, one of their things, their job is remembrance and not throwing away the past. So it makes doing new things a little bit difficult for them. There's sort of no feeling, a tough feeling associated with it. So I'm just going to use that and off home now. So I've walked pretty much the same distance that the Anzacs walked from the beach, or they walked under shell fire from the beach to where they had their major battles with the Turks. It's pretty amazing, that short time. That's only 5 minutes. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.